Ray Giudice, our 680 The Fan legal expert, joining us this morning. Ray, always a pleasure, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, remember the other day we were talking about there was some study that came out, and if you're, you know, a guy that's just side of just this side of breaking the law, you might want to consider the Florida Gators and or FSU because you got a better opportunity of maybe beating the rap. Well, here we go again. Florida State freshman quarterback DeAndre Johnson suspended indefinitely from the team. According to ESPN, he's accused of punching a female FSU student, got into an argument with the woman after she cut in front of him when they were waiting to order drinks. Witnesses reportedly told police the woman raised her arms. Johnson grabbed them before just punching her in the face. Now, Johnson has not been charged with a crime, and police had not interviewed him as of Wednesday because apparently he left the bar.
You know, I find it unusual, because I've been doing this for 30 years practicing law in Metro Atlanta, how slowly the Florida authorities respond to athletes who may or may not be involved in criminal behavior or mischievous behavior in the state of Florida. Because in Atlanta, GA, if you or I or any of our friends had committed some offense like that in the bar over the weekend, we would have been contacted, talked to, a warrant application. Something would have happened by now. So I would assume that the university's crack legal team has rounded up the witnesses and started to get affidavits that perhaps she threw a drink in his face and she incited and he was just defending himself, and they are doing their best to keep the gendarmes, law enforcement, at arm's length for as long as they can. However, the university has acted very quickly in suspending him, but I will tell you that's most likely in response, if we go back to the Jameis Winston matter, to the federal authorities under Title IX, I believe, saying, you know, if you guys don't investigate domestic violence and other issues, we're going to start suspending and cutting back on some of your federal funding. So I think that's probably why they acted so quickly.
Ray Giudice joining us here on 680 The Fan, our 680 The Fan legal expert. I wanted to get your take. You know, we talked about the term terroristic threat. P. Diddy gets into an altercation with one of the UCLA coaches, and he's accused of making a terroristic threat. How do we avoid making terroristic threats?
Well, I mean, let's separate the idle comment, you know, if you don't come to work tomorrow, I'm gonna, you know, slap the heck out of you, versus I'm standing here with a 15-pound kettle drum weight in my hand and swinging it, and I'm going to smack you upside the head. That is corroborated, potentially, at least that's the allegation, by both witnesses and videotape. That's a really good, potentially, terroristic threat. It's a threat that is not hypothetical to do actual violence and harm to another individual, to which that other individual has a reasonable apprehension of harm. Now, those are all lawyer words, but they kind of mean what they mean. If a five-year-old says, I'm going to beat the snot out of you, well, you know, we can sort of say, little Johnny's a tough guy. But if, again, a full-grown man is swinging a kettle drum towards you and says, I'm going to whack you with this, that's reasonable to say, holy smokes, I might get hurt. So that's a terroristic threat.
Okay, there you know. Now you know.
Yeah, right. The other part is supposedly the UCLA staff did not want to press charges, might not even want to press charges now. Do you have the right to just say, let this go after the campus police have done what they've done already?
Well, they may indicate now to law enforcement that they are, you know, not actively pursuing and not crazy about being called as a witness. But once law enforcement, whether it's campus law enforcement or the county, saw the video, and again, I haven't seen the video, they felt the crime had been committed. That cow is out of the barn. I mean, now it'll be up to law enforcement to determine, and the prosecutors, did a crime occur? Is it a provable matter? Is there self-defense argument or whatever? So and this happens a lot in, you know, neighborhood things or domestic violence, and a quick segue to Mr. Sapp's case. How many times do these domestic violence cases sort of fall apart where the initial TMZ report sounds like it was, you know, an all-out affray and a mayhem type argument fight, and then 6 months later it's reduced to disorderly conduct and a $300 fine is paid? So, you know, I would tell everybody, you know, as a defense lawyer, I would say, you know, let's keep our powder dry. Let's get the witnesses. Let's get the videotape. Let's look and see what we really have. But again, once those people that are sworn under California law to enforce the law feel that they saw a crime committed, that thing has started.
And, you know, Ray, even going back to the Sapp case where he was arrested back in February for soliciting a prostitute, the way that ended up, it sounded horrible on the surface, but they reached a plea deal. He went to a couple of classes, and court records indicated the misdemeanor charges would be dropped at that point.
Well, that's right. Again, so, you know, that initial 24 hours of media coverage and you know, the obligatory perp walk done by law enforcement and the initial press release, again, sounds like one type of crime was committed with absolute proof. And then 6 months later, you find out, well, maybe that's not exactly what happened, or maybe the witnesses weren't quite as good and as accurate as we thought they were. You know, one of the problems in those type of cases, Sapp's earlier cases, you know, those witnesses, and I don't know the two young ladies, but this, it's possible that they each may have had a criminal record. They each may be on probation for matters like lying under oath or making false charges against other individuals who didn't pay them exactly what they wanted.
So as prostitutes, they could have been unsavory themselves.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And
always that possibility.
That doesn't mean they weren't a victim of a crime, okay? I mean,
right.
Just to make sure I'm not saying what I'm being clear. You can be a bad person or have a bad history, and this is the incident where you, in fact, are innocent and are the victim, and that could be the case. But prosecutors still have to make a decision about the creditworthiness, the honesty, the truthfulness of witnesses, even in prosecuting a case like that.
All right, last thing. I'm assuming for whatever the charge was or wasn't or what it became in Vegas, there was probably that, and you stay out of trouble now, Mr. Sapp, or else...
Right.
Well, if you get in trouble right after that one, I'm assuming what happened in Vegas.
Well, we don't know what the time was on that. Whether that was a 1 year sort of unofficial probation, if you violate the law, we can reopen this, or it was 90 days, 60 days, or in our jurisdiction, or a similar kind of case language. So yes, but you are right, Chris. A lot of these sort of pretrial diversion programs, which is sort of what Sapp did in the Arizona matter, have a little asterisk next to it. You know, don't do something again, otherwise we may reopen this and think twice about it. However, a lot of times, too, the reason that these charges are often dismissed or reduced or pretrialed is because the case has got some problems, you know. So the prosecutors still have to go back to the drawing board and say, well, you know what, he may have done something in California, but our case here still is not so good. So, you know, but yes, when you're on probation or you get one of these deals, you know, it really requires you to sort of at least get through the 12 months or whatever the probationary period is before you do your next criminal activity.
680 The Fan legal expert Ray Giudice. Ray, I almost forgot. Tom Brady, the appeal, and they talked about him being under oath.
Under oath
to whom?
Yeah, well, look, I would venture to say that it's part of the language of the player, the NFL and Players Association agreement regarding how arbitrations are conducted. So you can submit yourself voluntarily to an under oath statement. You can't be forced to do it in this kind of a setting, but if it's in the language and the agreement of the arbitration rules, then he has agreed to do so. Now, I think from Brady's standpoint, what he wants to do, especially if he's somewhat vindicated, is said, you know, listen, I stood up there under oath. I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I told the truth. You know, we got partial victory. We don't agree with all of it, but I'm a man of my word, and I went under oath. Because the other problem is people saying, well, how come you didn't testify under oath? We actually sign a lot of documents throughout our busy days that are under oath. When you go to apply for a driver's license, you're signing a document that says, you know, my license under penalty of perjury is not in suspension in another state. And, you know, when you sign home loan mortgage applications, you're signing all kinds, you know, 400 pages of a lawyer saying sign here, sign here, sign here. But a lot of those things are under penalty and perjury.
If it found out that Tom Brady lied,
yeah,
he could be prosecuted for perjury?
I tend to doubt that. It's emanating from a civil arbitration, sort of an administrative punishment. It's not a lawsuit. There's no pleadings in court, like at a deposition, for example. If you lie at a deposition in a civil lawsuit, yes, you can be prosecuted potentially for perjury. The amount of those kind of cases that are currently going on in the United States of America would be about zero.
Okay, fair enough. Ray Giudice, 680 The Fan legal expert. If folks want to get in touch with you, how can they do that, Ray?
Hey, the cell phone that I'm talking to you on now, 404-964-4185. Go to the 680 The Fan website, hit my blog. A little picture there, and it'll go to my webpage as well. And 4th of July coming up, folks. Be careful. be careful. The governor is on air talking about zero tolerance for DUIs. Well, you know, we're not a zero tolerance state. We're a 0.08 state. But they're looking at it, law enforcement's looking at it like zero tolerance. So keep that in mind.
All right. Ray Giudice joining us here on 680 The Fan. Ray, have yourself a good weekend.